first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
That rousing music, you know that's time for the Spouting Off, Tuesdays, Thursdays at 1 p.m., Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern on my website. And I sound happy because, well, I'm on the radio, I'm talking to you, I'm sitting in the chair in front of the microphone, but I've been looking at some pretty dark, unhappy news. And I don't want to talk about what I'm about to talk about. Here I am, a talk show host. I don't want to talk about this. I really, really don't. But I feel compelled to talk about it because it gets to the heart of the matter that we all are living with, dealing with, fearful of. I mean, it's hard to do that because there's really so much going on. But I've always been a fan of getting to the nub of the issue. And I just posted on my Facebook page, and I will get it up on my website because we are live, and I posted it everywhere. It is such an astonishingly important video. I hope you will watch it. You will share it. And don't fear that it is somehow too radical to share. It is a warning. It is a chauffeur blow, like the chauffeur blow at the beginning of our show. It is a please pay attention to this moment. Vera Sharov is a Holocaust survivor. She's also a public advocate of human rights. And she gave a speech in Nuremberg, of all places, August 20th, 2022. That is 3 days ago. You can find this at my website. I urge you to watch it. The transcript is also there. Just go to, actually, it's not at my website yet, forgive me. It will be when I get off the air. I will make sure to highlight it. I just have to get it right, and I haven't done it yet, but you can go to my Facebook page, Karen Cataline. It's all the same thing, Karen Cataline. Everything's public at my Facebook page, and it's the first page there. So what does Vera Sharov, Holocaust survivor, have to say? The title of this is "Unless All of Us Resist, Never Again Is Now." I have had fellow Jews tell me that whoever mentions the Holocaust loses the argument. Now, when we say never again when we're referring to the Holocaust, we mean to remind people about the lessons of the Holocaust. We don't mean, and believe me, I hate talking about this. Believe me, I do. I wish it were not a reality. I wish I didn't lose sleep over any of it. But the whole idea of never again, and we said that after 9/11 as well, but never again is often used with regard to the Holocaust because of the atrocities, the absolute evil of it. And we're still watching things about the Holocaust today because the lessons are important. So to say that, oh, you can't make comparisons to early tyranny and the Holocaust is the exact opposite of what never again is supposed to mean. Never again is supposed to mean recognize it, be vigilant against it, make sure that it doesn't happen again by paying attention to what happened. She talks about how it took 9 years of taking away people's civil rights, human rights, and a cheapening of life, all the things I talk about here. It took 9 years before you began to see the radical nature of what these people were up to, the Nazis were up to. Now, we talk a lot about the Great Reset, about some of these maniacs who really think that there are too many people and they want to be the people to reduce the population. There's another word for that. It's called genocide. What we used to think was a bad sci-fi movie, really, we are seeing evidence of it everywhere. Now, why was I watching it now, of all times? Well, because times are dire and times are getting short. My friends, the talk show hosts, were talking last week. Chuck and Julie Hayden and Chuck Bonnewell spoke at some length last week, and I have to give them credit. They compiled news items in which, like the flick of a button, the propaganda media is now branding Trump supporters, anybody who disagrees, people who think there was something fishy about the 2020 election. It's not an accident. They call them election deniers, climate deniers. Everything is being turned on its head. But what is happening that has escalated this? Not only was it the raid on Mar-a-Lago to go after their political enemies, the person who may well be a candidate for president in two more years, and they weaponize the alphabet agencies to go after him. That's pretty brazen. But I'll tell you what else is. Leftists have been liberals, leftists for the longest time. They lecture and lecture and lecture and lecture us about pretty much everything they're getting ready to do. Remember, you can still look this up. The whole concept of otherness, you're othering. They turned it into a verb and people went, what? They used it to apply to criminals who had committed horrendous crimes. Well, don't think of them as the other. And they did so to make criminals whose actions took the rights and many times lives of innocent people away, to make them sympathetic. Well, they're turning that on law-abiding citizens. They are now othering you and I for dissenting, disagreeing with their totalitarian tactics. Now they're calling conservatives, not just the Republican Party, many of whom are really quite mild-mannered and compliant. If you happen to hear the heated debate I got into last Thursday with someone who advocates staunch moderate, I mean, this is horrendous. I want you to know I had everything I could do to keep control and be civil, because to be a staunch moderate in the times that we are watching, when communism is growing and being pushed upon us against our will, that's pretty amazing. Of all times in the whole wide world. That interview you can hear at my website. I posted it. I even edited it so that you could hear it in about a half an hour. This man I had on thought he was going to get an easy interview. Actually, I warned his press person that it would be heated, and they came on so that I didn't sandbag the person. Yes, it was heated, and that's what we used to do in America when America was free, and when people didn't brand opposing ideas as misinformation that must be banned, snuffed out, and covered up. So what are they doing right now? What is the media doing, and who knows who's directing it here, to brand and other? They're othering. This is a verb. They made it up. They made up the othering to other us. Anybody who is, and you know the list, their enemies list is very well known, but they're not going to stop with just their enemies list. No, now they're up next on the next plan. It's always more for the revolution, more of a plan. What's the plan? To brand to anyone else the idea that these people are a danger to you and it is okay whatever we do to them because they are going to harm you. The same fear-mongering that has been used for people to willingly hand over their liberties, their rights, their civil liberties, their sense of humanity about one another with the virus, that same fear-mongering that they've been using there is now going to be employed to other their political enemies, which they are already doing. I was going to list them. We all know them. I can rattle them off. Of course, it's really anybody who disagrees, including Black conservatives, who they claim are victims, but not if they agree with conservatives. That's why I love, love, love having Black conservatives and unconventional, shall we say, becoming more conventional every day, conservatives. Probably have one on my show on Friday, a Black conservative, talking about racism and bigotry against white people. Yes, that's happening. Yes, we get to talk about it without embarrassment, without shame. Seems like the Black conservatives are the ones who are standing up and pointing it out. The same people that warned us about bigotry and hatred and intolerance are the people that are using it like a battering ram against their opponents. I was going to list, you see, I'm just all worked up here. I was going to list the well-known list, and it is not a complete list. Trump supporters, white people, rural dwellers, Christians, Jews, anybody who is a person of faith, a farmer, a trucker, a person who works for a living, an independent person, people who love the nuclear family, men, masculinity, white people, or anybody who dare to be conservative regardless of their minority status, suddenly they're no longer Black or Muslim or any other if they agree with conservatives now. And all of us are being lumped into the same stereotype, the same scapegoating. Why do I bring this up? Why is this so important? I began with Vera Sharov warning us about the Holocaust. This is one of the prime tactics used in the Holocaust. This is the tactic. They chose Jews and other undesirables to scare people. Now, in the time of the Holocaust, they were using a long-held hatred. Anti-Semitism, Jew hatred is probably one of the oldest hatreds ever because, you know, we've been around a long time. Now, while anti-Semitism is growing in America by leaps and bounds, 10 times a person is 10 times more likely to be the victim of a so-called hate crime, which the left is the one who coined that phrase, if they are Jewish than if they are any other group. But now we're not seeing that. Now we are making, the left is making all of these groups the new Jews, the ones that have to be shut down, the ones that have to be bullied into silence, intimidated to either shut up or go along. The people in the military who stand up and say, no, I'm not going to take an experimental shot, and I have that right. Vera Sharov talks about the Nuremberg Code, which has never been more important, more critical to pay attention to, and to hold fast to. All right. There's so much more at that video. If you wait a couple of hours or whatever, I will make sure to get that video up on my website or find it at my Facebook page, Vera Sharov, Holocaust survivor and public advocate in human rights. She knows what's going on and she's not afraid to say so. You got to not be afraid to say so because Vera Sharov tells us that never again is now if we do not resist these abominations towards human rights and life and liberty. Oh, We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a great guest. Stay tuned. You're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
I love when people are standing up, spouting off without self-censorship. The time to watch everything you say is over. Yeah, diplomacy is great, but spouting off means you stand up, you speak out, and you know it is the right thing to do, even if it disagrees with someone else. Well, someone who is doing exactly that is our very first guest. His name is Jason Ho. Can't wait to talk to him. He speaks on experience with CCP, with China. He is the lead designer of the F-35 fighter jet, flight control and image display systems, cybersecurity and AI specialist. He's an expert on Huawei. I'll have to make sure I know how to pronounce that. Organization. His personal experience in China and technology theft is just astonishing. Thank you, Jason Ho, for joining us here on WSMN on Spouting Off.
Appreciate having me here, and hope everyone can tolerate my accent as I'm not a native English speaker.
You sound great. I can understand every word, and I'm honored to have you here on the program. Jason, Nancy Pelosi went off to Taiwan, and those people who watch carefully, even Donald Trump mentioned it, of course, he mentions a lot. The Speaker of the House went off to Taiwan, and nobody knows why. There's an awful lot of sellouts to China in our government, sad to say, hard to prove, but we suspect it. What happened? Do you have some insight as to why Nancy Pelosi went off to Taiwan?
I think this is very obvious, because for Nancy Pelosi or for any politicians, when they have been accused too close to China, the best way is go to Taiwan, because people's and stereotype Taiwan is against China. If you go to Taiwan, you're against China. They can win a lot of people's heart. They can win votes. That's the main purpose.
Propaganda, in other words. You know, I had that hunch, too. I had that hunch, too, that she is defying China, but China was making a lot of noises. Did they know something we don't know about Nancy Pelosi's true sentiments here?
Definitely, because first we'll look at the timing. She went to Taiwan after the Joe Biden and Xi Jinping had so friendly conversations. And also China not make a fake military exercise against Taiwan, because that's after Nancy Pelosi left. And also we have to notice, after Nancy Pelosi, there's a governor, Eric Holcomb, there's a senator, Ed Markey. Why everyone suddenly go to Taiwan so anxiously? Definitely this is not something usual. And because in the world, there's no free lunch. The reason people go there, because there's benefits. Obvious benefits becoming the fight against the CCP, but in other way, there's a story behind, because every visit, there's a host. There's one company always sitting on the chairman seat of every meeting.
So we say a little more about that. There's always a benefit. Help us understand, because, you know, we're just peasants here. We're just peasants watching all this going, what? I don't get it. I don't trust it, but I don't get it. Help us understand what the so-called elite, and they're not elite, what the so-called elite get when you said there are benefits.
That's exactly. That's why you need someone understand the background, because in China, there's a very unique culture. They only trust family members. Family is above everything. When we talk about the family members, nothing like in the Western world. We talk about the family members hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years. So the Communist Party elite and elite in Taiwan, they are from the same family. They are family members. This is a constant show made by Communist Party, the good cop, bad cop, to make people confused. They are expert how to fool people.
Wow. And so is it accurate that what they are trying to fool us into is that Nancy Pelosi is some kind of a courageous freedom fighter against the communist Chinese?
I hope Nancy Pelosi has that guts, but unfortunately, and I don't think that's anything close to the reality. Because we look at the U.S., now the most urgent issue is the chip supply chain problems. They hurt the U.S. and terribly, and people call it the most daunting national security crisis. But who caused it? There's a company called the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation. And this company, when the world, especially the U.S., they don't have enough chips for the defense, for the automobile, for every industry. But this company continues shipping to the China military, the People's Liberation Armies. China has no chip shortage problem. China has no chip shortage problem in any sectors, automobile, computer, everything is okay. So this company is the host for all those meetings, visitors from the U.S., those politicians. And this company actually sitting on the chairman's seat of every meeting. This is the some story behind.
So help us understand who the players here are, because, you know, this talk about foreign, this is pretty foreign to most of our listeners and to try to understand. So we're in danger in this country, in America, of having a shortage. In fact, I think we already do, of semiconductors. Taiwan manufactures them. So, but we have a lot of people in our government who are playing footsie, if not more than footsie, with China. So talk to me like I'm seven. Who's playing with whom? Or is, as the old stage, the old phrase goes, sooner or later, everybody does business with everybody.
And unfortunately, money talks. So who controls the money and who is the person in charge? And fortunately, U.S. politicians, they are always on the receiving end because they need a unlimited resource to fulfill their dreams, continue their works. In that case, semiconductor is the most lucrative business. And the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation and also the semiconductor industry in Taiwan, and probably they controlled worldwide from 65% to 85% productions. And the shortage is caused by them, but this shortage has provided them tremendous benefit. And also, because this is a chip shortage, can help China to have their GDP now almost a third or second, they believe can use the pandemic plus chip shortage to surpass the U.S. In that case, they have unlimited benefits to make this ongoing. So those people on their mouths, yes, they are fighting against China, helping Taiwan fight against China. But in the reality, they are on the same table with the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation, which caused the U.S. chip supply the national security crisis. And probably that's very obvious what kind of game they're playing.
Right. Do you suspect that Nancy Pelosi, it was just a show and she was played, or was she really trying? As you know, the narrative is always something you got to question, trying to make a deal on semiconductors. And why her? She isn't a foreign policy. She's the Speaker of the House. How come the president didn't go? Well, I know why. You probably know why.
Exactly. He's not in the administration branch. She has no power to help. So what's the position, what's the purpose, and the Taiwanese semiconductor industry want to invite her to be there? It's very obvious because they are playing something. Because, everyone knows Confucius institutions, and they now become notorious in the U.S. So for the reason the Taiwan Semiconductor Company can become in such important position, can invite all the U.S. politicians going there one after another. It's very simple. TSMC, this company, Taiwan Semiconductor Company, is going to provide a replacement for Confucius Institution to create a new Taiwan Semiconductor Engineering School as a replacement. Talk about the science, technology, and the economy and the math. So they want to use new institutes and to replace the notorious Confucius Institute, and have them to continue the Communist Party propaganda.
Oh, my. It's not good news everywhere we go. I am asked constantly if I think China will make a move on Taiwan. I don't like making predictions, but you probably are qualified to make some sort of prediction. What do you think?
Before I talk to the American public, Taiwanese soldiers are not allowed to touch guns. They are the army of love and peace. What they want is Americans to fight for them to take the blood and death. And more Australians think China will attack Australia than the Taiwanese people think and China will attack Taiwan. So that's very obvious. Why Taiwanese people think China will not attack Taiwan? And on the other hand, Australia, there's a remote chance China can attack them, but the Australians worry and China will attack them. That's very simple. And for most Taiwanese, we know this is a show because China needs Taiwan to play both roles to fool people. And Taiwan has become a very important conduit for China obtain the most advanced technology because people will think, oh, I'm helping Taiwan fight against China. We can provide all the technology, money, and resources to help Taiwan. But at the end, they don't know the Taiwanese elite, not Taiwanese people, Taiwanese elite and the Communist Party elite. They are from the same family. They share the same resource. They share the same profits. Definitely, when you help those Taiwanese elite, it's equal to help the Chinese Communist Party.
Jason, we're talking to Jason Ho with lots and lots of inside knowledge of what's going on. What you're describing seems to be a tactic across the board that's happening right here in America, where instead of just announcing, like Fidel Castro did at one point, I believe, we're all communists now, they simply co-opt every institution and turn it communist while people are still laboring under the misapprehension that this is a free country. Is that what they're doing in Taiwan? And do you think that's what's happening here?
Unfortunately, from China's communist point of view, they already occupy the U.S., not just infiltration. They think they own a lot. And just look at the Silicon Valley. Just look like the social media platform. We can attack Russia, whatever we like over the social media platform. But once if you attack China, you attack Xi Jinping, you were immediately demonetized. You were immediately moved to get a warning. That's very obvious.
So you don't think it's Zuckerberg and all them, they're kowtowing to China, which seems fairly obvious. You used that word, didn't you?
I hope that's kowtowing, but unfortunately, I think they are part of it. They're not submissive to them. of course, from the beginning, and Zuckerberg, I remember there's a news report. He was so much in love and welcomed the China, the internet censorship czar, and he was.
To go back to Nancy Pelosi, she recently said China is one of the freest countries in the world. She actually said that, if you remember. And this just shows what a clown show we are watching, but it's very serious and disturbing clown show. I hate to save for the last, but this is overwhelming stuff, and it causes people to just be sometimes just frozen in their tracks because it's so massive. Do you have any prescription?
I don't know. Nancy Pelosi just took something deep from her heart because Taiwan is called the Republic of China and China is called the People's Republic of China. Actually, they are both China, definitely, in her heart. That's China. She knows there's no difference. So the solution is very simple. I think more Americans understand the trick they play because I have to remember we talk about establishment, we talk about this deep state. In here, at the most, we can say 600 years, but in China, those establishment is about 1,000 years, 2,000 years. They think they are much, much outsmart. They are much, much more experienced than those establishment here. So we need to understand the background of China. We cannot take anything for granted. We cannot believe the mainstream media talk about how the Taiwan is against China. We have to understand China is much more sophisticated than that.
We have not seen the kind of propaganda in this country that we saw overseas in World War II, which I spent a monologue talking about. And now we are seeing it here. In our last minute, Jason Ho, how can people find you, follow you? What would you like us, what would you like to leave us with?
And I luckily have a lot of friends to support me, especially many patriots. They think we have to do something to revert the situation. It's not only we become a victim for the Chinese aggression, but if we have to do something to counter back. It doesn't mean we're going to attack them, but any other solutions. And currently, I'm the company on the tech lead, tekarium.com. Maybe people can follow my work.
Say that again, real slowly. Say that real
slowly. Okay, sorry, my accent.
No, that's okay. Say, I'm sorry, I was talking. Say it again. Sorry.
tekarium.com, techliam.com, and so people can follow my work. And hopefully with those patriots, we can have some good news very soon.
That is so important. Thank you so much, Jason Ho, for joining us. It was riveting. We'll be right back on WSMN Spouting Off right after this.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Cataline, this is Spouting Off, 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM Nashua, New Hampshire, the live free or die state. And yeah, we're living in a live free or die state. While we're waiting for our next guest to show up, which hopefully he will, I went for a bike ride today. I don't get as much exercise as I should, but I went for a bike ride, and that's sometimes when I get some of my weirdest ideas. And I thought, you know, if you put all of the things that we are watching in the last year and a half, you know, I have harped on the idea that none of this is incompetence or stupidity. It's deliberate. Now, who's directing it is another story, but for the purposes of the argument, it's not necessary. Somebody, I call them the whomevers, is directing policy in the United States of America. And I don't think it's the person sitting in the White House. And we get caught up in that part of the issue and forget to talk about, well, what do all these things have in common? So as I was going on my bike ride, and I just thought, you know, every single policy that we have seen, from shutting down our own ability to produce our own oil. Now, what is the possible reason for that? They never defend it. They never explain it. They can say from now until doomsday, let's hope it's not around the corner, that it's for climate change. But they never shut down the Arab oil, Russian oil, Venezuelan oil. They never, ever, ever shut it down. They want America to be dependent on foreign oil. Donald Trump never even promised that in 2016 and got it done, got it happening less than 4 years. In less than 4 years, he made us energy. Keep trying, Art, would you? Made us energy independent. And now the very first thing that Biden was told to do, yes, told to do, was to sign something that said that we're going to shut down the Keystone Pipeline with no even sense of obligation that we should explain why. They've been indoctrinating people about climate, the weather. But, you know, we're not the biggest polluter in the world. And yet America has to shut down its own oil production and be dependent on terrorist countries that hate our guts, right? That is but one example. Opening the borders. There's no sane, rational explanation for this. Not when it puts law-abiding citizens in danger. Not when it doesn't matter. They, you know, they love making it about race, but we all know that it really isn't about that. Never was. It's not a race. Mexicans are not a race. They're from a country. And if you come here illegally, You should be able to come here legally, and a country ought to be able to decide who comes in their country. If you're a globalist and you want to get rid of all the borders, which, by the way, Vera Sharov talks at great length about what they really are doing, then you're going to do that. Let me sum this up because we have our guest. So this is how I got started with this little rant. When I was going for my bike ride, I thought, you know, they want America to fail so they can prevail. They, meaning the globalists, America stands in the way, so they need America to fail. Donald Trump stands in the way, so they need to destroy Donald Trump. They want America to fail so they can prevail. Think about that. Write me. Tell me if you agree or disagree. Is that too extreme a statement? I love hearing from you, Karen, at KarenCataline.com. Just write me. I don't mind dissent. We are not, after all, liberals here. So we like dissent and disagreement. So write me at Karen at KarenCataline.com. Well, I'm delighted to have our guest. He is a former FDA official, current Georgetown University health law professor, and former Republican nominee for U.S. Senate. His name is Rick Mehta, and we are delighted that you made it here to Spouting Off.
It's my pleasure, Karen. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's good to have you. So, one of my unfavorite topics, but one I talk about all the time, the efforts to begin mass vaccinations for monkeypox. Here we go again. Back again to stick people with things they don't even know what's in it in the U.S. and worldwide, and why this is not necessary for the containment of the issue. Talk to us about this, and then I'm sure I'll have some questions, Rick.
Well, let me tell you, first of all, we've only had 5 public health emergencies in the last 20 years, 2 under the Biden administration, COVID being extended, and now monkeypox, which is quite surprising. And it's, again, what I call these nonsensical, never-ending federal public health emergencies. But in this case, this is a government-created emergency. Now, what do we know about monkeypox? Very different than COVID. New research is starting to show that monkeypox is technically spread through potentially through sexual intercourse or prolonged skin-to-skin contact. In fact, even the New England Journal of Medicine studies between April to June said that 98% of the cases of monkeypox have been found among the polyamorous, gay, and bisexual male community. So when we talk about mass vaccination of the general population, unless the mass population is engaging in, is part of the polyamorous, gay, and bisexual community, I mean, that is truly the stratified high-risk cohort of patients that are susceptible. So this public health emergency is just a silly declaration because of an ill-prepared public health system because of our failed response to COVID. Now, Karen, I can explain that a little bit further.
Wait, before you do, you sound, forgive me for saying this, but you sound like you're being much too generous. Do you really think they failed and that they really wanted to succeed? I mean, everything, you heard me before you came on the air, everything we've seen is a brazen disregard for the facts in favor of robbing people of their civil liberties and their personal freedoms. So if that's the real goal, then, you know, it wasn't accidental. And, you know, let's not give them the benefit of the doubt of a positive motive when everything we've seen shows they don't seem to have a positive motive. Huh, Rick? What do you think?
Well put. I mean, this is unprecedented in terms of the power grab that the federal, the executive branch of government has had. I mean, look at vaccines, right? We know that Congress, the legislative branch, regulates products in interstate commerce, right? That's a fact. It's a constitutional right. It's been assigned to the legislative branch. Yet, what has happened? The executive branch, through the FDA, the NIH, the CDC, has mandated vaccines. And to your point, they've been using public health as a pretext to trample on individual liberties and individual rights. Right? This was a very, what we call, strict scrutiny, high standard to ever, ever force a medical intervention on someone, or put differently, violate someone's constitutional rights to allow them to decide their own medical interventions. And so the fact that they went to that highest nexus had to be couched on something. And what it would be couched on? The fact that you're trying to create a community good. And in this case, we were never going to achieve herd immunity.
Stop a minute.
Right?
I want to let you continue, but I want to direct you to the same video that I directed our audience, and then I'll let you continue. Absolutely. I thought it was so critically important that I wanted our listeners to watch and access Vera Sharov, a Holocaust survivor who is sounding the alarm on not only medical freedom, but the way that medicine and the Nuremberg Code is being violated left, right, and upside down, so that you can be aware of what she sees. You're welcome to disagree. Anyone is. But she has the courage and the guts to say what is going on. And it ain't that they're concerned about public health. That is, seems to be their reason they want everybody to do as they're told. But that doesn't mean that reason holds true. So go ahead.
Right. So,
I'm sorry.
Well, no, you took the words right out of my mouth. I just had a little bit of buildup to
sorry.
That. So what I'm saying is that this public health is being used as a pretext to trample on our constitutional rights, right? So their argument is that they're doing it as a community good. What is a community good? There is no community good here. To trample on people's individual liberties, to force medical interventions on them, never going to achieve herd immunity. COVID is still here, right? They said it was the pandemic of the unvaccinated. Those were the words of President Biden. And look, triple or quadruple vaccinated, also on the 91% effective treatment, and still developed rebound COVID himself. The fact that we're still under a federal public health emergency has everything to do with a power grab and absolutely nothing to do with an actual emergency. And even put differently, Karen, look at the case fatality rates. They are tremendously low. Now, I'm not saying people didn't have negative outcomes to COVID by any means. I know many people lost loved ones, and I empathize for them, as I myself have too. But the truth is, when you're looking at it from a population health perspective, there are way more things that are killing people right now. You can't just take those things away from people.
They don't seem to care.
Problem.
They don't seem to care. Nobody even knows anything about this monkeypox thing. Can you die from it? Is it just icky, terrible, and they show scary pictures of it? And of course, they're ignoring the fact that gay and, how did you call it, polyamorous people are at highest risk. Well, gee, didn't they do that with AIDS, trying to tell us it was a heterosexual disease when it wasn't?
Well, and look who was in charge back then, you know, 40 years ago.
Anthony Fauci.
Everyone's top doc, right? My point with monkeypox is exactly that. They had a shortage of vaccines. They think vaccines were going to be the answer to the response. They had to declare a public health emergency because that's the only way FDA could move to change the way you administer the vaccine. Now, why do they want to change the way you administer the vaccine? Because one study, only one study, that was not, you know, doesn't reach the level of an FDA standard, said that if you change the way you administer it, meaning you administer it under the skin, beneath the skin instead of under the skin, you can cut the dose down by 5. Now, why do they need to cut the dose? In order to increase supply times 5, because they had a shortage. But why did they have a shortage? Because millions of doses went expired under the Biden administration's watch. So, again, an ill-prepared public health response.
They had a dose? They had a vaccine for a monkeypox that they didn't even know existed, but they created the vaccine for it?
The vaccine had been around for better half of 5 years now, FDA approved. Now, listen, monkeypox has been around. The first cases spotted in America since the 1970s. It's been around longer than Dr. Fauci served in the federal government, so more than 50 years.
Is it survivable? New. What is it? It's a skin disease. Nobody even knows what it is. It just sounds horrible and scary. But what is it actually?
So
do people die from it?
Well, that's the thing, right? So it is a rare disease, first of all. It's a rare infection. Listen, we've had less than 10,000 cases throughout the country. It's a zoonotic disease, meaning it's passed predominantly from animals to humans. And now they're trying to figure out how it travels from humans to humans. And what they first said was prolonged skin contact with those pustules. You see the little pox marks. And now they're saying, well, it could also be through, you know, sexual intercourse. And as we talked about, predominantly within the polyamorous, gay, and bisexual male community. Now, in terms of fatality rate, very, very, very low. Normally people have it. Is it painful? Absolutely. I remember getting chicken pox, and that stinked. That was painful. And similarly, people experience excruciating pain, of which there are obviously pain treatment options. And then, you know, you develop natural antibodies.
Like shingles. And shingles is pretty painful.
Very similar to shingles.
Shingles.
And then you recover. And now you have antibodies.
Let me ask you this. Do you see, let's cut to the chase here, and I'm so sorry we have a short segment here. Do you see the government forcing, bullying, and intimidating people to get this vaccine for monkeypox, regardless of their own personal decisions?
I will tell you right now, I put nothing past the Biden administration and their poor public health systems and leaders. I think that's why the midterms are so critical. So we do get a Republican House and Senate so that we end up with the checks and balances to what I call an otherwise lack of integrity on our public health systems. I put nothing past them.
Yeah. And you know what? I think our listeners feel similarly. Can you give us a little bit of information on how they can find you and follow you? Because I don't want to get rushed at the very, very end of the show and let people know how they can know more about you.
Sure, it'd be a pleasure. Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Rick Mehta, that's RIKMEHTA _NJ. Same handle for Facebook, Instagram. I'm on social media. And feel free to follow along as we follow this public health saga in our country.
Exactly. I just want to put a fine point on what you said, that you wouldn't put anything past them. Before you came on the air, I was headed to that same thing. We've seen no restraint from these folks at all. I guess we have to go, but thank you, Rick Mehta. Thank you for speaking out here on Spouting Off. We so appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Take care. We'll have to have him on again. He was great. That about does it for us here on Spouting Off. And no, we don't see much constraint from the bunch that has a monopoly of power in Washington, D.C. We must resist tyranny and speak up for personal liberty and dissent. That's all for me. Talk to you on Thursday, and keep on spouting off.